Hey, what up? This is Zach Guilford from Midnight Mass, and you're listening to one of my favorite podcasts, Pop Culture Pastor.
Pop Culture Pastor.
All right, Cody, I don't know if this is an obvious thing, if I'm just missing something here, but or this is like some really inspired thinking by one of our favorite eateries.
Okay.
It seems Chick-fil-A. You've heard of Chick-fil-A, right?
The Lord's Chicken.
That would be the one.
Yes.
It seems Chick-fil-A is currently testing a pizza as a menu item.
I don't need that.
You don't need that?
I don't think I need it.
A Chick-fil-A classic pizza comprised of chopped chicken, Chick-fil-A nuggets.
Okay.
Chick-fil-A sauce and pickles all on top of mozzarella cheese.
So you had me with the sauce and the nuggies. I actually don't want the pickles on there.
No. The pickles, I don't know when. Is it because of Chick-fil-A now that I can't go anywhere and get a chicken sandwich without them trying to put pickles on it?
The only place that they did not try to do that to me was Raising Cane's.
Yeah. This is not my America. My America, we got lettuce, mayo, tomato on our chicken sandwich always. And then all of a sudden, they just change it on me. I feel like that grumpy old man. I'm just like, I don't know what happened.
Get these pickles out of here.
Now I go to McDonald's. I get a chicken sandwich. They give it to me with pickles. No one wants that trash.
Embrace the word plain at a young age.
Yeah, I'm not that worried about it, but you know.
But yeah, so the Chick-fil-A sauce as the sauce of the pizza could be a game changer. Because I do like the chicken Alfredo pizza where the Alfredo sauce is the sauce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like playing around with pizza a little bit. They also will have a buffalo ranch pizza.
Nope, I don't like buffalo chicken that much.
A regular cheese pizza, pepperoni pizza, and a meats and veg.
What?
Vegetables pizza. So they're like, I mean,
they better not have any beef.
I think they, it sounds then like they might.
Don't do it.
Why aren't
that would ruin your whole advertising.
No, the cows.
Yes.
Spell.
The cows, yeah. I don't know. Is that important to you, though?
It is.
Would it really mess with you?
Because literally, all I have known them for is chicken and sides.
I mean, that's only one topping, though. Like, just don't have beef. They could have sausage, pepperoni. Everything else is not cow.
That I am sort of okay with, but then it also ruins the cows riding eat more chicken.
Yeah. I am intrigued by the idea of chicken on a pizza.
Have you been to KFC and had the cheesa?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, let's talk about this. No, I have not. Yes, I'm intrigued.
Absolutely.
So explain this to me. It's like a hunk of chicken with pizza sauce on top and mozzarella and cheese and like pepperoni. It's like chicken parmesan.
I was going to say that's chicken parm. That's all you're eating right there.
Chicky parm parm.
Well, but you already have KFC, which is delicious, and then you have pizza, also delicious. So
I agree. I wish we had a KFC here.
Pittsburgh. We did.
We did have a KFC here. We That's did. Long before I moved here.
It had Taco Bell and rats, I believe.
Living until you have Taco Bell and rats in your KFC.
Okay, let's not throw local eateries under the bus.
Local eateries? I've lived here for 15 plus years. I've never even heard of this place.
Probably 25 year old eatery.
They had been around. That's not my fault.
It is now a Chinese restaurant.
Do they still? Never mind.
It's possible.
We are not going to go there.
I'm Team Little China. Let's go. So
we're not talking local eateries.
How many eateries, just in general, not local, do you think have mice problem? Like what percentage? What percentage are we talking about here? I need to know.
Cody's not here for health code violations.
To know.
See, that's what I'm afraid of. That it's actually more than we think.
Oh. It has to be. I mean, you're keeping food stored and you're having like dumpsters full of old excess food. And so, yeah, there's going to be rodents.
Okay, I didn't plan on going here, but have you ever opened like a can of something, a pouch of something, anything, something that's wrapped or boxed, and find something in your food?
No.
Because my mom did once. There was something in her Coke, a can of Coke, and it was a roach.
It's okay. Nasty. The Coke ate away all the grossness of it.
We're going to sue for millions.
I've had some Capri Suns that tasted like wine, but that was about it.
Oh, yeah. did they whatchamacallit? What's the word?
Ferment.
They fermented, yeah.
Yeah.
So this is Pop Culture Pastor.
Oh, hey, yeah, hi. This is Pop Culture Pastor, the podcast. My name is Dave. Cody's here.
I am.
Cody just rudely ended our discussion. Why'd you do that?
Keep it on pop culture.
We were having a good time. That is pop culture.
It isn't.
Coca-Cola is pop culture.
That is also libel, potentially. So I'm saving us from lawsuits. You're welcome.
Libel?
Slander.
Are you saying it didn't happen?
I can't prove or disprove it. I just know Coke has billions where we have pesos.
Gosh, we might not sue. I mean, this happened like 30 years ago.
Well, I'm saying they might sue if they hear this.
Why?
Because they're coming after us.
We are completely and utterly broke.
They don't
we
know
got
that.
No money.
They don't know that.
All right. We'll give them a t-shirt. Back,
cleaned out the slush fund.
We give them a t-shirt. Yeah, this is Pop Culture Pastor. The other voice you hear is Sir Jackson Chauncey, Geek of the Round Table. Hello, Jackson.
Joop, joop.
And yeah, so I did have a couple news stories. Someone interviewed Kanye, which seems like they're taking their life into their own hands. That's a dangerous proposition.
Yeah. Evidently, this latest album he dropped, like, yeah, it's a bop. But
he was back to normal Kanye, though.
But people, yeah, interviewing him to talk with him, I don't know if we need it. Just let him make music and stay off in wherever Kanye is.
Well, it's interesting because he did a couple Christian projects.
He did.
And then his most recent project was, you know, kind of more his normal, what he used to do. And they asked him about it, which I thought it was a fair question. A fair question, yeah. And he said this. He said, I have my issues with Jesus. There's a lot of stuff I went through that I prayed and I didn't see Jesus show up. I had to put my experience in this world, my experience with my children, my experience with other people, my experience with my accountant, my experience with my brand, and my experience with the level of music that I was dealing with in my own hands. He explained that he sees Christians rely so much on God that it sets them up in his mind for failure. And like, listen, he's hurt. He's hurting. Like, he's just kind of explaining he's hurting. Right? Okay. You don't think the last so many years have been hard for him?
Oh, I imagine they've been hard for him. But I also imagine he echoed or he put in the undertones of his message what it was really about, which was the bottom dollar.
Oh, you're so cynical.
I have seen the dude's brand go from a billy to barely worth more than us.
Okay, but like, and does it even matter anymore? He's got so much money, it doesn't even matter.
He does not have as much money as we think he does.
Oh.
But
Cody knows things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you lose all your corporate sponsorships and you're getting sued left and right, you do lose the monies.
I do go to Cody for all my Kanye news.
And his Christian albums didn't sell like boo coo.
That's too bad. They were good.
Where it pays to sound like Kanye of old.
It does, I would imagine.
And I also am concerned on the faith aspect because I am a pastor. But what he is underlying is where I think a lot of church people are at various stages. And that is God's a genie, and that is not how that whole thing works.
Yeah, so he hits on something here. I want to read you what he says next, and I just want you to react to it, okay? He says this, a lot of times, I just feel like in America, Christians depend on Jesus so much that we won't put the work in ourselves. the main thing that really I don't rock with is it's always saying, I'm going to pray for you. And it's just like you can actually physically do something yourself too, more than just pray.
Okay. So this is like a multifaceted level thing.
Yeah.
Because the work part, I'm like, Christians should be working. Because faith without works is dead. That is as biblical as I'm going to get on that portion. But yes, like he is hitting something right there. The praying for you thing, it depends on what we're talking about. And it also is not only an empathetic response by the church, in which all the church people that are like, quit with your praying for you stuff. You guys gotta be civil rights activists or whatever. Like, okay, teach everyone better ways to show empathy then. And also, with that being said, that like there is, if it's something else, like someone's sick, you really can't do a whole lot besides a GoFundMe.
Yeah.
Well, so praying is a good thing. And it also takes the person that's praying out of a self-centered mode and has them actually relating to other people.
Okay. So this is the interesting part, because Kanye's basically lamenting, right?
Yes.
So let me tell you what he says next.
Okay.
We're so in this mentality that that's all that needs to happen, but we ain't praying our way out of prison. We ain't praying our way out of the abortion clinics. We ain't praying our way to get our land back that was always ours after gentrification, after the Harlem Renaissance. Black Wall Street was burned to the ground. Them prayers ain't working. Let me ask you a question. Is Kanye the new Solomon? Is this like the new Ecclesiastes? He's just saying stuff that's broken with the world.
I don't think he has the wisdom behind it.
Yeah, I don't think that's what he means. But it's what he's accidentally doing. He's pointing out the brokenness of things.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But like beyond, beyond your faith, what else can you do? We've tried. It's not like people aren't trying to fix things.
Oh, yeah.
It just doesn't seem to work, does it?
And like these are much deeper.
Yeah.
And more challenging problems than just, oh, I wish this would get better, or, hey, you guys need to stop sending people to jail.
Yeah.
No, that's not how that works.
I know. This, like, look, I'm toying around with this a little bit. I'm like the cat who's, like, kind of playing with the toy, just kind of batting around or playing with the mouse, but I'm not trying to kill it. I just thought this would be fun to throw around. I just read this today, and I was like, oh. Kanye, it's weird. There's little truths he's stumbling upon, but then he kind of gets lost, you know? And it's sad. I guess what I'm saying is I kind of feel for Kanye. I know a lot of people don't right now because he says things that are offensive to people. Jackson just waved his hand. I know he says things that are offensive, but I think he's got issues. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think we already know he has mental challenges as far as like the chemistry in his brain. He's like, we know he's on medication, right? Or not on medication, as it were, but maybe he should be.
He has come out with mental, or people around him has talked about his mental health diagnoses. But
do you think it's irresponsible for people to put him, to give him a platform to say things? Or do you think it's a good thing that he gets a platform? Because I'm not so sure. I really don't know.
I think the issue is if he was one of us.
What's us? Us? Who's us?
Common people.
Oh.
That have like.
The common folk. All right.
The
maybe
speak
200 followers on Twitter or something instead of 20 million. He has a voice and a platform that reaches so far,
mm-hmm.
and it affects way beyond your typical person that is just tweeting or saying or making videos of random things. So when he does go into these dark places and he does say these hurtful things, it either gets uplifted or it creates such a negative tidal wave back at him that, like, he almost becomes an empathetic figure.
Well, because he's polarizing for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And when you conduct these interviews, I don't imagine this interviewer is ignorant enough to not think they're going to get a soundbite somewhere.
Right. Yeah. So. That's not even cynical. We know that they're trying to get him to say something.
So I don't think that this is healthy for him. I don't think it is good for us as a culture. And I think, like, if there's one thing Jesus did that Christians and Kanye should do, take a retreat.
Yeah.
Go off the grid for a little bit.
This is where I'm crossing it over with our pop culture, because this is, you know, pop culture pastor. We build these people up. You know, Kanye put out music that we liked, so we built him up. We put him on that platform. And then when things go south, I don't know. It's like the people we build up, they cease to be human beings anymore in our minds. And so, yes, I'm aware he said some things that are hurtful to people, that are offensive to people. But then, like, do we just forget that he's broken?
Well, I think we invest in the buildup, we relish in the teardown, and then they always say everyone loves a redemption story. So
we're just waiting for... Is that why... I mean, like, he got a lot of headlines with the Christian albums because we thought maybe it was the redemption story. Is that... Would you agree with that or no? Are we waiting for redemption?
I don't think we're waiting.
I'm not anymore. Really waiting for Kanye, period, but it seems like the cycle of, you know, we build you up, we hang on, and then when you mess up, you know, we relish in it because, you know, you're just like us and you're no better than us, and then they invest in the comeback.
Yeah.
I don't think as a culture anymore we care about the comeback. Okay. I think that part's gone.
Yeah, you're talking, this isn't about Kanye, this is about us.
This is now about us.
We live in a revenge culture.
And it's real easy to see the bodies that lay in wake of comments that him or other celebrities or other people with platforms. That's why, like, mega church pastors are getting blasted left and right that, like, you've said or done something that doesn't look quite right, and it's real easy to attack. Let's tear you down, and we really don't care if you ever come back.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Cool. I just wanted to have a little deeper conversation.
I think with social media, you know, you can just kind of throw rocks from afar. And I don't really care what ultimately happens. This was fun for me for 5 minutes, and now I'm going to go on and do something else.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an even deeper conversation that we could go on and on about. But yeah, I just wanted to talk about Kanye. We don't usually have a lot of these kind of discussions, but I thought it would be nice to have a little bit of a deeper discussion. Now we're going to go out to the lobby, answer a few listener questions. We'll lighten it up a little bit.
Okay.
Back to our regularly scheduled podcast. We'll be right back. Meet us out in the lobby.
Welcome to the lobby.
All right. We are out in the lobby to answer listener questions.
And get raisinets.
Not get raisinets. This first question was inspired by the breakfast cereal bracket.
Okay.
It's from David Allen in Lakeland, Florida.
Hi, David.
He says, let's talk breakfast cereal mascots. Snap, Crackle, and Pop. Sunny from Cocoa Puffs. Lucky from Lucky Charms. Cookie Cop, the crook from Cookie Crisp, the Trix Rabbit, all of them. If they were all put in a fight to the finish, Thunderdome, as it were, who would win?
Captain Crunch. Why?
You're going with the Cap'n.
He has a boat.
What about Tony the Tiger? He's kind of buff.
I was going to say, Tony the Tiger's winning this one. He's a tiger.
And if I say Lucky the Leprechaun probably has a knife, is that... kosher? Is that
not kosher, but why not? He is magical. And
have you ever seen the movie Leprechaun?
I have.
They're kind of scary.
I have seen the leprechaun in Alabama, or the sketch of it. And
is that a vine?
Well, it was a news clip, and then it became a vine, but yes. Okay.
Yeah, I remember that vaguely. So you're going with the Cap'n.
Yeah, I was a little insulted he wasn't on that list.
Do Wheaties athletes count or no? Because yeah. Mary Lou Retton could be doing some damage.
Muhammad Ali was on the box.
Forget about Muhammad Ali. I'm talking about Mary Lou Retton. MJ, Michael Jordan was on Wheaties. They don't count. It's got to be a mascot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cap'n Crunch. I'm inclined to say, well, I mean, let's see. Let's look at the tail of the tape. The Cap'n's probably about 4'2". He's 4'8" with the hat. But a guy with a mustache like that, you should know he's bad news. That dude can rumble.
I think you, the Smax Frog, has seen the light leave someone's eyes.
But, like, Count Chocula and Boo Berry are out there, and they're supernatural.
They are, what but they seem so soft. They look so friendly. As far as, you know, movie monsters
go. I don't know if you can kill Boo Berry, because technically Boo Berry's already dead.
What about Mikey from Life? The kid Mikey?
No!
He's probably in his 50s by now.
That tiger is attacking.
Is Tony the tiger, is he like a real tiger or just the cartoon tiger? He's sentient. Like he like thinks like he's a, what do they call that? When the animals walk and talk like humans, there's sentient. A word. Sentient. Is that the word I'm looking for? She's shaking her head back.
Maybe.
There. Our audience in the studio, yes, is saying, no, that's not it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Tony the Tiger seems like a good choice. Cap'n Crunch seems like a good choice. He seems like he could be kind of scary.
Was Mikey the one they said did the Mentos and Coke and died? I remember that urban legend. It might not have been Mikey, but I felt like that was something Cody
I think
would
that's
know.
A thing.
There we
that,
go.
That there was a rumor. I'm pretty sure
have
Mikey
we checked
did not.
On Mikey? Is he still with us?
I'm 99.9% certain he didn't die from Mentos and Coke.
Can we get Mikey on the geek phone?
Yeah. Someone needs to look that up. Is Mikey from the old Life commercials, is he still around? Whatever happened to?
Are we pulling a LeBron James?
How so?
So LeBron literally texted or tweeted out, where can I watch X-Men 97? And like, Google that, LeBron.
How would you not know that?
And
I mean, it's not like he's that busy that he doesn't know. He has no idea what Disney Plus is.
And now we who have phones and the internet webs are like, is Mikey still alive? We could look this up.
LeBron, come on, man.
I do feel like we're LeBroning it, and I'm here for it, actually.
I think I need to address this next question because I keep getting this question.
Okay.
This is a hometown question. And people ask me this all the time. I get asked this question everywhere I go.
You brought it on yourself.
When will Brahms come to our hometown? That's the question I get. Every time I do that, we do the Ask Us Anything for this segment, I at least see it twice. When are we getting to Brahms? For those of y'all don't know, if you live in another part of the country, Brahms is a Midwestern burger / ice cream joint / grocery store.
Yep.
So they're connected to a big dairy farm enterprise.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
So that's why the ice cream's a big thing. That's why they sell the milk in the groceries.
They sell the A2 milk. That's better for your stomach.
And so... And that's why they really promote their burgers, because it's all cows and ranching.
We're never, the answer is we're never getting a Brahms. Do you know why? Because we live in the land of broken dreams and shattered hopes, and we're next in line for the human sacrifice. No, sorry, things got dark. That got dark.
Vote Cody for mayor. He'll bring us a Brahms.
Cody! If Cody is elected mayor of Chanute, Kansas, he will bring Brahms finally and completely.
Don't wish that ill.
Manifest.
On me.
He will manifest destiny.
Speak
Brahms.
It into existence.
I'm not naming and claiming this.
We can't even get him to name it and claim it. Come on, man. David Harrison from Iola, Kansas.
Hello, David.
Yeah, Iola's another
I don't know how many Davids we're going to have on this, but...
Yeah, that's so, yeah, lots of Davids. He says, what if birds are actually terrified of heights and their chirping is them screaming in fear?
That's why you got to be kind and polite to them when they land.
Is someone being rude to them?
Yes.
How so?
Scarecrows?
Well, scarecrows aren't real, Cody.
They're meant to scare off birds.
Crows.
They're literally called scarecrows.
Who are birds?
Birds land on scarecrows all the time.
I know it doesn't work. Crows are also highly intelligent. I don't know why people thought it would work.
Crows will like try to murder you if you hurt one of them. Like the rest of them. They're like a hive mind.
A murder of crows?
They are a murder of crows.
They're kind of crazy. They freak me out.
They also have funerals when one dies.
Yeah. Whenever I see a crow, I'm like, oh, pardon me, sir. Please don't hate me. Because I'm afraid they're going to, like, you know, band against me.
Thank you for that.
Thought you were going somewhere profound.
No.
And then I saw the car hit the wall.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, David Harrison. I mean, I guess as long as we don't think birds are not real and are actually observational equipment that the government spies on us.
Pigeons. You've never seen a baby pigeon.
Have I? Have I not?
I guess that's the...
Yeah, but why? I've never seen a baby most birds.
Never seen a baby pigeon. Because they're like up in
trees and nests.
The thing is I have seen a baby, like, of quite a few birds, and birds are real.
Birds are real. You heard it here on Pop Culture Pastor. You heard it here first.
I will name and claim that.
Birds are real.
Snopes.com himself, Cody Haviland.
Thank
you. Cody's like, birds are real. Here's something you may not know. The ducks down at the park are free. Pick them up. Take them home. A lot of people don't know that.
Leah's grandfather did that.
He took some ducks from the park.
A duck or a goose?
How? How did he catch it?
That is a story you'll have to ask Leah when she is on the pod next.
Did he like leave little pieces of bread into his car?
I'm not going to spoil it.
That was probably a wild ride home.
So it's a real story, though.
Okay, we need to get Leah's uncle.
Grandfather.
Grandfather? We need to get Leah's grandpa on the pod.
No, you need to get Leah on the pod to tell the story.
Oh, is she not around?
No.
Oh.
Oh.
We're old.
That look of Cody like
him. Man, that went south so quickly.
Dave's going to have a Ouija board.
I went from excitement to mourning.
We don't mess with Ouija boards around here, Jackson.
Yeah, we don't do that. Yeah. Jackson.
Guess it'll have to be Leah then.
All right. Yeah, we need to have Leah on to tell the story about her grandpa, how her grandpa stole a duck from the park. Okay. That's all the questions we got today. We'll do another Ask Us Anything. And like when you see it, ask us questions. That's what this is for, this segment, the lobby.
Don't ask about Brahms.
Don't ask us about Brahms.
Too traumatic.
It is. I can't keep doing this. All right. We'll be right back to talk about our main subject, main point, main topic, remake, reboot, or nah. Coming up next. Okay, we are back in the studio, and we are ready to talk about the main topic. And I thought of this yesterday. I was driving to Springfield, Missouri, because I was taking my 11-year-old daughter for her birthday. We got her tickets to Shrek the Musical.
Okay, so I completely guessed wrong on where we were going.
Where we were going?
Yeah, I thought you were going to go to Bass Pro or something.
Oh, no, no. That's like the second time someone said that today. You went to Springfield? Did you go to Bass Pro Shop?
So growing up, that's all Springfield was known for?
Yeah.
Was that in Lambert's? And so, like, yeah, that's all Springfield had.
I had a thought while I was in Springfield this last time. I was like, Springfield, Missouri is the Wichita of Missouri.
Yes.
And I don't really have anything qualifying. You'd be like, so what does that mean, Dave? I'm just like, I don't know. It just reminds me of Wichita. It's like the same city. It's just in a different place.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Anyways, we went to Springfield, and I was, we were on our way down there, and I started thinking about what we were going to talk about today, and I started thinking about a particular series that we'll get to, and whether it was time to remake the series. And then I started thinking about, well, do you remake or do you reboot?
I don't even know the difference between two.
Okay, well, we're going to get into that. So I wrote down definitions, and I'm not saying these are the end-all be-all for the definitions of these, but for our purposes, for today's pod, these are the definitions we're going with, okay? A remake is to remake an existing property, movie, or TV show, to retell a story that has already been told in a new way or in a new context. So, for example, The Batman is a remake because you're retelling this story with a new version of the character. The Ghostbusters with all the ladies in it.
Okay.
That was in 2016. That was a remake because it wasn't an exit, like it's a kind of an alternate universe type story. Star Trek, J.J. Abrams Star Trek in 2009 is a remake. Okay. You're retelling the story of these characters in different context. The 2001 Ocean's 11 is a remake. And True Grit in 2010, same deal, remake.
Star is Born?
Is that a remake?
Well, I mean,
I don't know.
They have done that movie three times.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll take your word for it. Yeah.
Because... it was Judy Garland in the original, and then Barbara Streisand, and then Lady Gaga. So,
Judy, somewhere over the rain. Anyways, that's my Judy Garland impression. Or is it Liza Minnelli? I don't know. It doesn't matter. Same diff.
There's a diff, but yes.
Yeah. Oh, so it wasn't a comprehensive list of remakes. It was just, you know, those are the first ones I thought of. A reboot is to revive and continue an older property by continuing an older story with a mixture of new and old characters, or telling a completely different story in that same shared universe. Often this can be a sequel many years later meant to kickstart a new franchise with new characters from this same universe. So think the most recent Ghostbusters movie, Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Jurassic World.
Yes. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Blade Runner 2049. Mad Max Fury Road is another good example of a reboot because it's spawning another movie. They're doing another kind of a prequel to that one.
They're doing a prequel, yeah. Furiosa.
Really, any of the Bond movies when they change the actor is sort of a reboot. You're starting over. You're retelling the story with a different context. Star Trek The Next Generation, if you're looking for a TV show, that's a reboot.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a new, same. It was the Enterprise, but new crew, new time, new characters. Top Gun Maverick, perfect example of the reboot.
Okay, so I now have my definitions to work off of.
Yeah, so you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Yeah, so essentially the simple way to say it is remake, we're telling a story that's already been told in a different way. Reboot, we're continuing in some fashion from the old story. We're not necessarily so retelling the old story. So a reboot would also the Fantastic Beasts, Harry Potter stuff, even though those were like prequels.
They are prequels.
But you're playing around in that sandbox and telling a completely different story with new characters and some old characters.
Looking at you, Dumbledore.
Yeah. So what we're going to do is I have compiled a list of ones we're going to go to, and we're going to just give our thoughts. Remake, reboot, or nah. Don't touch it. Does that sound simple enough?
Okay.
Okay. Jackson, you all right? You look shell-shocked.
We're still a little cloudy over here, but we'll push through.
Okay. Yeah, we'll talk through it. Like I said, we have not studied for this in any way. I kind of wanted it to be like a reaction, what you're feeling.
Okay. And I had read an article, not necessarily about like whether this property should be remade, rebooted, but how millennials and Gen Zers feel about.
Yeah. Do you want to tell properties. Us a little bit about that?
Okay. So essentially, this article that was from IndieWire talks about that people of my ilk and younger.
In the 80s?
Yeah. 80s babies and younger want original content. They don't like remakes and reboots.
Oh, well, then why is Hollywood doing what they're doing?
That's what this article questions, because it pointed out that, like, Barbie, Oppenheimer, and even Sound of Freedom. That's how IndieWire starts off this article. We're cleaning up the box office last summer. We were not alone in declaring that when it comes to the types of movies young audiences will go out to the theater to see, it is original property or like actually making new stuff that isn't connected really to anything existing. Like Barbie, there was clearly a doll that existed, but this wasn't connected to the kids' animated Barbie movies at all.
Right, right.
And it points out that Marvel, Indiana Jones, Transformers, Jurassic World all suffered huge L's last year. Super Mario Bros. Was a big success, but that really wasn't connected to the old movie. And it was a completely different style, completely different everything. Mm-hmm. So I don't even know if it falls in the remake or reboot category. Five Nights at Freddy's, again, existing game IP, but you're telling it in now a coherent story. This article goes on to say that viewers are increasingly seeking fresh and innovative ideas. And that they have noticed a lot of Gen Z and millennials, when they want their fix for nostalgia, they just go to the streaming platforms.
Oh, okay.
Such as for The Office, Friends, those sorts of things.
So they're saying the younger generations, when they go to the theater, they want original content.
Yes.
Interesting.
And what was the age range again for younger generation?
So
millennials,
which we are older millennials.
Okay.
Oh yeah. He had to tell Jackson what he was. You're an older millennial.
You are an older millennial and
makes you sound like a statesman.
Yes.
Yes. And then the next generation after us.
Okay.
I do have a theory to why that is.
Oh, okay.
Do you want that now or later?
Yeah. Tell us the theory now.
Okay. So my theory is, so we are the generation that grew up with cable and satellite.
Cable, not the X-Men.
Yeah, cable. Not the X-Men.
Cable. Cable TV.
Cable TV and satellite.
All right.
And so, like, if something was good, it was on a lot. Mm-hmm. And you had somewhat of access to it where, like...
Are you talking about like syndication?
Yeah, syndication.
Oh, yeah. Yes. So when cable blows up, syndication blows up, right?
Yes. Where like I can remember my parents talking about like, well, when The Wizard of Oz would come on, we would all mm-hmm. gather around because this was a momentous moment.
It was like an annual thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so like a lot of properties became beloved. And this is the version that we grew up with. This is the version that we see. And then you add in, like, streaming comes in not, like, too long into, like, millennials' adulthood. That's really a big thing, streaming. That, oh, now it's at our fingertips. Like, we can instantly view it. And so, like... I don't want a remake of The Big Lebowski because I have watched that movie like 30 times at least. Mm-hmm. And those characters are the actors are those characters. Like,
yeah, it's become beloved to you.
I have seen Jeff Bridges enough as the dude that he is Jeffrey Lebowski.
Yeah.
I don't see him as the True Grit guy.
Well, I do think, I'm glad you said that, because I do think, and we'll see as we go on here, because I made a list where I actively thought about this list I made, because I thought there would be some of these that will draw a line and say, I can't imagine anyone else playing this character. And so I put some of these in here, and I fully expect to hear a no, don't touch it, because I can't imagine anyone else playing this character.
Just wait for till they come for the Goofy movie, Jackson.
I knew you were going to bring that up, because I was driving over here, and I have a different attitude with remakes and reboots that'll probably come out in this. And I was like, but somebody's going to bring up my one sacred cow. One of two.
No, man, we're we'll not remaking a Goofy movie.
We'll see if Dave's got the other one on his list.
They remade a Lion King, so...
Not... Well, okay, they made it live action. That's more like a reboot.
Did we need it?
No, absolutely not.
When we're talking beloved Disney
properties... No, it's not a reboot. It's a remake.
I'm just saying.
That's far enough down.
Hold on. I violated my own rules. That's clearly a remake. Because they're telling the same story. You're right.
So,
yeah, we didn't need that at all. No,
if they did it with that, and
mostly because a Goofy live action movie, a live action Goofy would just look creepy. I don't know what they're doing there.
Change the animation style, because they're doing that with what movie was it? They're doing it with a beloved cartoon movie. They're updating the graphics to like The Good Dinosaur.
Nope.
With Arlo.
Oh, don't Land like Before that. Time.
Yeah, that's it.
Wow, you really drew a blank there.
Yeah. I'm glad that I could spur on your
memory. Is that
memory.
Legitimate? Because I've seen that around the internet, and with everything in the age of AI and Photoshop.
I don't know.
And,
I hope not.
Yeah. All right, let's get to this list. I started off with some TV shows, because there are some TV shows I think are due that were ready for a reboot or a remake.
Gilligan's Island.
Number one, the first thing on the list, Leave It to Beaver. Leave It to Beaver. You're just right off the top. No, you didn't. No. Because I was thinking, like, what if you had this family, same name, same personality, same characters, but in the present day?
They don't exist, so you're welcome.
Are they too good?
Is it going to have a sci-fi bent?
No.
I don't mean
they're out of time. I mean, like, what if the you know, what was their last names? The
Cleavers?
The Cleavers. Beaver Cleaver. What if the Cleavers were a family now?
They aren't.
It would be super cynical, probably. It'd be a cynical thing.
I was going to say, like, Malcolm in the Middle is where you're...
It'd be satirical.
Yeah, it'd be, yeah. So we're saying nah.
Yeah.
That's a big nah.
This was my wife's idea, just before I even say it.
We're throwing Danielle under the bus.
The Cosby Show.
Well, we can't do that one.
I mean, what if it was the Huxtables?
So the way it works, and the only way it works, is if you have the United Huxtable Children... The people that played those characters be like, we want to reclaim our work.
Oh, so they pulled a Connors?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they go that route. And so in that realm, it works. But I don't want it. I don't need it.
Side question. Has there ever been a more beloved property that was ruined by the people in it more so than the Cosby Show? As can you think of anything else? Because, like, OJ being in the Naked Gun, that's not even close.
Like, that wasn't ever a beloved franchise for me. Like, I've watched when it was on.
OJ being in Hertz commercials. Somewhere an executive in the Hertz commercials was watching the Bronco chase going, oh, man, come on. But, yeah, like, the Cosby Show is, like, this beloved I know why Danielle, my wife, said it, because she loved the Cosby Show.
I feel
and
like
it's just kind of ruined.
That would go out there with that Fresh Prince remake that I know it exists, but I'm not seeking it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's definitely a remake, because they're telling the same story just in a different style.
Beloved,
and
nostalgic property that everyone watched in syndication years after it was on. And so
I hadn't thought about the syndication piece, but you're right.
And then you add in the streaming piece so we can watch it whenever, just like people binge Friends each night or go home, watch The Office.
Well, yeah. And some things are meant to be a time capsule. They wouldn't work now.
Yep.
Yeah. How about, okay, so you mentioned time capsule. Okay. I thought of this one specifically. Dawson's Creek. Dawson's Creek is quintessentially 90s. Why are you laughing?
Oh,
because you're closet lovers of Dawson's Creek.
This was the, hey, Cody, I've got some blind spots. I've got the James Vanderbeek crying face. That's all. That's my point of reference for Dawson's Creek. I don't want to wait.
But you're aware that that was a show. You're at least semi-aware of what it was about.
Slash Jackson and I had a conversation about James Vanderbeek earlier. So.
Created the career of one of the greatest Canadian actors of our time.
I had to go full Vanderbeek over the weekend.
So.
And I referenced that, and Cody had no idea what I was talking about.
Kiefer didn't either, so I was not on an island unto myself.
Okay, so it's a nah from y'all for Dawson's Creek. Because I actually think... do we have many of these kind of shows? It seems like these shows were all over the place in the 90s.
Like Riverdale.
One Tree Hill, Riverdale, all those, like, I mean, I'm sure we maybe don't have Dawson's Creek specifically, but you've got your versions.
The Gen Alphas need their Dawson's Creek.
CW
Yeah,
has
I was going to say the CW.
Probably. I don't know what it's called, but the CW
What's the one, the Outer Banks on Netflix? Is that sort of like that? I don't know anything about it. I just saw a commercial for it.
Dad watched it, which was weird. He watched Euphoria, too. So
there is nothing that would weird me out more than if my dad called me and said, hey, you know, I've been watching this Dawson's Creek show. That would weird me out.
He watched Divergent, too, and I was like,
what?
That was even too
Papa
young
Chauncey.
Too young for me. You've apparently reached the end of Netflix.
And plus, it's just bad. It's just not very good. At least watch the Hunger Games or something.
He's retired, so I guess
he has time.
That's what you run into.
What about the Love Boat? Could we make the Love Boat today?
You could.
Would it be like sitcomish? Probably?
I think you'd have a lot of random slapsticky things happen because cruise ships do a lot of cringe slapsticky things in real life anyway. So,
and the Love Boat was just a good excuse to have a lot of celebrity cameos.
I'll put this to the group because it's another blind spot for me. Is that a show that has problematic pieces to it where if you remake it, you have to change it so much that people who have that connection won't have it anymore?
Uh-huh. Reboot.
So, yeah, I think Love Boat is definitely ripe for a reboot. Like...
I don't know if anyone's still alive that was on the Love Boat, but
like, think Cobra Kai.
Yeah,
like, couldn't you tongue in cheek it? It's self aware.
Yeah,
you
know, that's what I'm like saying. That. If we go that route,
yeah. So we're on the same page there. We reboot the Love Boat.
Yeah,
like somebody. What was the skipper's name? Oh man, I can't remember. His grandson inherits. His great grandson inherits the Love Boat. It's like in an old shipyard somewhere, out of commission. And he says, you know what? I'm going to make this thing
a luxury ocean-worthy. Cruise liner.
I'm going to make this thing ocean-worthy again. And I don't know. How about, okay, so this one's already been remade as a movie. This was a TV show originally. It got remade as a movie. But I think it's time to get remade or even rebooted the A-Team. You still got a couple of the actors alive. Mr. T and Templeton Peck, the guy that played Face, I think he's still alive. And I just think the A-Team, so the movie doesn't really work. I don't think the remake worked, even though it did have Liam Neeson. He's really cool.
It was a good time.
It had Quentin Rampage Jackson.
Yeah, that was a good way to put it. It was a good time.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the same. But like as a TV show, aren't we ready for a new A-Team?
I don't think we need it.
Aren't we? You don't think we need it?
No.
But what about the people that need help and live in L.A. and they search the L.A. underground for mercenaries for hire? And if you can find them and if you have the money, you can hire the A-Team. They need the help, Cody.
I don't want to be that guy, but is that a show that can exist in our current climate?
Oh, yeah. Sure. Why not? Why not?
I mean, you might as well just hire the gangs of LA instead of like.
Well, there's still mercenaries out there. We just call them independent contractors now. It's like we sanitized them.
Yeah, they're usually overseas making big bucks. So
yeah, we use them in the military. All right, fine. We're saying nah to the A-Team. I'm here for a reboot. Bring back the surviving actors. Have them pulled out of mercenary retirement to train a new A-Team. That's what I'm saying.
You're just wanting to give Mr. T some money.
I would like to get Mr. T some work.
Put him on the list of people I thought were dead 20 years ago.
You know, I pity the fool that thought that.
He was still with us.
Listen, Mr. T's a believer. He's eternal, baby.
Hey, I'm all for him still sticking around. Just did not have that on my bingo card.
All right, let's go into movies. You ready for some movies? Remake, reboot, or nah? The Princess Bride.
Too Beloved.
Yeah, nah.
Too Beloved. Just not even thinking about this. We're not even going to discuss this.
It's too soon also.
Too soon?
Too soon, yes.
That movie's like nearly 40 years old.
I hear you. But like, I think you have to wait another 15, 20 years before you can get it to where it's like, okay, it's long enough past. There's generations that haven't grown up with it.
I'm just going to say something courageous that I haven't had the courage to say before. I don't really understand why The Princess Bride is so beloved.
How dare you?
I'm
going
to have to go off mic for a minute and crawl across the...
It's fine. It's a good movie. I just don't find it to be... I don't have the emotional attachment to it that most people have.
Inconceivable.
I know. I don't know what it is. I just never formed this like connection to it. So I recognize it as a good diversion. It's a good movie, but I'm just not in love with The Princess Bride.
I will disagree with Cody slightly. I don't think time makes a difference because we reboot Spider-Man every other year, it seems like. But my thing is, it's a movie that if you do it now, it's got to be too wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And it's just...
That becomes cringe.
It loses its charm and becomes cringeworthy.
Yeah. So I will use an example of why I'm going time. And it's Cape Fear.
Okay.
So
that one was remade.
That was a remake. And the original has Gregory Peck in it.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal. I actually loved the original. But you either have to wait a significant amount of time or you have to get the perfect all-star cast, such as Bobby De Niro, to step in and play Robert Mitchum's character. And yeah, like you have to have the stars align, and that one had time and perfect cast. I don't know if there is far enough time, and you got to nail the cast on Princess Bride.
Yeah. I'm trying to rile you up a little bit, because even though I don't have this emotional connection to Princess Bride, when I think about it rationally, I'm like, yeah, you probably can't. You probably can't remake or reboot that one. It doesn't make any sense. Like, I don't know that it would be successful. So, yeah.
And I don't know, like, it's big. It's got a cult following, but I don't know that it was big enough that audiences that are just going to gravitate toward it that don't have that connection. So I think you just...
I also don't know how it did in the box office. Like, with these cult movies, like The Big Lebowski, like Donnie Darko and The Crow, weren't huge box office successes, but they made bank in the afterlife.
I think The Crow is a good indicator. I think we'll see what happens with The Crow. Because I think it's comparable to say that The Crow is a cult movie and that Princess Bride is maybe on that same level. Although I would imagine Princess Bride has a bigger following than The Crow.
I just worry about diluting it. you know, like you have the Princess Bride, you know exactly what somebody's referring to. You don't have to worry. Oh, are you talking about the one from 2 years ago or
the one from 42 years ago?
Yeah, I think it's a nah. It's definitely a nah. This next one, though, and this is a genre I think that is ripe for remakes and reboots, because I think it just works better in the sci-fi genre. I think we see that with Dune, where Dune can be remade. And because time has passed and technology has gotten better, you can make a better version of the movie. And the movie I'm going to say next is Flight of the Navigator, which was a sort of beloved 80s kids flick about a kid who goes missing, who's like wakes up 5 years later. He turns out he'd been like kind of kidnapped by an alien ship.
Sure.
I loved the movie, but I also, when I last time I watched it, I was distinctly aware it doesn't really hold up in the you know, the technology era, you know, that it could have been made better in today's filmmaking. So I am here for a not Princess Bride, but a Flight of the Navigator remake.
So I or don't, reboot. I don't think that it is beloved IP.
Oh, now so, you better be very careful. What?
So I think you could remake it, and people be like, "Oh, this movie's good."
Oh, okay, all right. I'm back on board.
Like, if you don't have like people dressing up as Flight of the Navigator cast members at Comic-Con.
I don't think anybody would recognize them. They're just normal people.
Exactly.
Unless you're dressing up as a spaceship.
My point is, like, I don't see anything out in the pop culture that's referencing that movie that much.
The voice of the spaceship in that movie, by the way, is Pee-wee Herman.
Yes, I did look through the cast and saw that. So I do think that you could remake it. Or reboot it, whatever. I think remake would probably work best in that sci-fi and the horror genre both, I think, age better or get better when technology's better.
Yeah.
Because you rely on special effects, you rely on graphics. And so some of the stuff in like the 80s and before, a little cringe at times. But some of it's beloved. Like, I don't know if you can touch a 2001 Space Odyssey. Even though
you could make it a lot better with the effects.
I don't know if you should or could, or if it would catch on. Like, it's still a big, relevant thing today.
Okay, side note. I'm here for a 2001 remake, but only if Christopher Nolan directs it.
Okay. I'm down for that.
I'm going to hit back on your comment slightly that in some instances, practical effects are still the way to go, that CGI can really take you out of a movie, especially in the horror genre, probably most of all, where, you know, if it's the CGI blood or, you know, CGI creatures, and you can just see that disconnect that they're acting against a tennis ball instead of a real monster.
Well, you got to have, are we talking a quality studio like A24? Are we talking about Chucky 17?
I'm not talking out? Sci-fi movie of the week, Lake Placid 6.
Yeah. But man, brutal Chucky slander.
And I will go with...
Did watch the Chucky series.
Remake
week,
for so. A movie I have no attachment to and have never seen, but I agree with you that it can be remade and probably have better effects. Now, story, acting, that's out the window necessarily, but...
I just happen to think that Flight of the Navigator carries some themes with it that would play well now. Like, the kid disappearing and the family thinking he's been taken, which is like kind of a fear that is prevalent now. Like, I would say that there's more fear of our kids being like snatched off of, you know, street corners now than there was when I was younger. And maybe that's just because we were more naive or whatever we want to say. But like the themes in this movie are kind of that they would hit harder, it seems like. And so this kid's like gone, and then he shows up 5 years later, but he hasn't aged. Like, it's kind of wild. It's sort of like what was a TV show about the plane that lands and it's been 7 years or whatever.
Yeah.
Manifest, which was popular on Netflix. Manifest shares some DNA with Flight of the Navigator.
So before we switch, do you change the genre of it then? Since, you know, we are in a different time.
Maybe.
Do you put a little horror bent or?
If you remake Flight of the Navigator, Flight of the Navigator, even though it had some of these heavy things in it, was very much like a kid's movie, I would say. I mean, I think Disney's the one that did it back in the 80s. But yeah, I would think maybe it would be
Disney
a little bit more
Adventures.
Serious.
Yeah.
It would be a little bit more serious nowadays. Like maybe a little scary, thriller-ish, you know? Okay. Yeah. I think we're here for the remake on that one. Let's move on to this one before we switch gears a little bit. This one might draw some ire.
That's getting it.
Back to the Future.
Nah.
Why nah?
How dare you? Well, first off.
Okay. This is what I thought. Now tell me, work through your feelings and tell me why you don't think this works to remake or reboot Back to the Future.
So
specifically, I'm thinking remake, but go ahead.
I mean, I know it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. I love Michael J. Fox.
That's it. That's why. Is it because we love Michael J. Fox and we know he's not well?
That's part of it. And also, so I will switch it out for another beloved IP because this is a beloved franchise.
Uh-huh.
Roadhouse.
Roadhouse, which is they're remaking as we speak. It's about to be out this weekend. Yeah, this weekend.
And guess who's not watching it? Not because
we love Patrick Swayze.
Love Patrick Swayze. I don't need it remade. It was good the first time.
My problem with Roadhouse is that it wasn't beloved because it was just a fantastically executed movie. It was one of those movies that was kind of cheesy. It was cheese.
It was.
And I feel like, why would you remake cheese?
Slash, like, dude's ripping out jugulars. That's all I
with
need.
His bare hand.
Yes.
I mean, it was just fantastic cheese. And I feel like when you remake it, you're going to try and remake it seriously, which misses the whole point of why we loved it.
Yeah.
It's a time capsule movie, and you either go too serious or too comical. Because a lot of, with Roadhouse, it was there if you saw it, but it wasn't trying to be silly in parts. It wasn't always trying to be overly serious. You know, there was that give and take. And
I feel especially with Sam Elliott.
Now you would feel the need to go heavy one side or the other. You know, this is a hard, gritty Roadhouse reboot, which
might accidentally work.
That's not what anybody wanted. You know, that's not Roadhouse. You can name that any number of things. Or you go completely non-serious and you just drive everybody of the original away.
So what do you think about Back to the Future?
Okay.
Can you remake, reboot, or not?
Back to the Future, I'm going to quote Jurassic Park and say, just because you could doesn't mean you should.
You didn't stop to think if you should.
Do I think they won't? Absolutely not. Do I think they should? Probably not.
There's no way they do it while Michael J. Fox is still around. That's my personal thought. I don't think they will.
Unless
he's in it.
Yeah, he would have to make a cameo. And then that would be the reason I go and watch the movie, and I will do it begrudgingly, but I would do it.
Let me tell you why I think you could remake Back to the Future, and it would be interesting. I saw a meme the other day that made me think about this. And the meme was like, if you remade Back to the Future in our time, the year he would go back to would be like 1995 or something like that, would be the year that they were actually living in.
Well,
which is kind of bonkers to think about.
Like, I don't know, like when I think the 70s or the 80s and maybe even a little bit of the 90s, like I can think back to how different things were, but can you really do that in
modern
times?
You can't imagine a Back to the Future that took place now where they go back to the mid-90s. Like, I think that would be kind of cool. I think time has changed enough that makes that more, that makes that interesting in a different way. So all the context is different now with the same, with you know, you recast, you have the same characters just in different times, and it actually changes the story. So much of Back to the Future is takes on the, its character it does because it's the 50s, right? And the 80s and the 50s. Now you're the 90s and the 2020s. So it would take on the character of the time. I don't know. I just feel like it's a movie that seems pretty simple to remake and make interesting.
It's simple. It's not neat.
I am with you. There's something about it that feels not right while Michael J. Fox is still around. It feels like you're, you know, like you're not honoring him as a, you know, as an actor, because I think he's beloved. Which, so I will admit there's a weird feeling to broaching the subject.
And Michael J. Fox acted in a series with Barry Bostwick.
Oh, we're back on Barry Bostwick.
Yes. Have we not had a glimpse of this? And I haven't watched enough of it to truly know, but is Rick and Morty not a offshoot of Back to the Future? Again, don't blow me up in the comments, but I almost feel like that was kind of a... Maybe a slight aside.
I've never even watched Rick and Morty.
I cannot comment because I have not watched enough to.
We don't know.
See, I go to Cody for these things.
Although
I'm counting on you, millennials, my knowledge.
I have read that.
I mean, people can educate me in the comments. I've watched a handful of episodes, and I don't think they were in order. So.
How dare you not watch a show with Keith David as the president?
Let's take an aside. Let's take a Stevie King aside here.
Okay.
This is going to be a quicker little as we rattle through some old Stephen King properties. Remake, reboot, or nah, The Shining.
Was that not Dr. Sleep?
No, that was
a sequel.
Yeah.
Essentially, okay. Maybe a reboot, because didn't they talk about making a sequel to that one?
I think
and then they
so.
Didn't because it wasn't good. They didn't make enough money, maybe.
So I actually liked Dr. Sleep. It was done well, and according to Stephen King, it made him actually go back and appreciate Stanley Kubrick's Shining.
Yeah, because so this is why
he hated it.
Yeah, that's why I put it on the list, because I'm aware that Stephen King did not like Kubrick's version of The Shining.
So I think you could do it. You would have a split fandom, but I think you would get kind of what Marvel has. It would either be you'd get a lot of people go watch it, or it would be barely break even.
Yeah. How about The Stand?
They've
tried to do it several times, but
if Whoopi couldn't save it,
it just this The Stand is like kind of is similar to The Dark Tower for me in this. It's so expansive. It almost has to be a TV show. A streaming
TV
show.
And I honestly think that when we try to do it in miniseries format, we're still rushing it. And
yep.
It probably does need like two or three seasons where, okay, we're going to actually flush this out.
Yeah, and Paramount Plus, whoever did this last version, there was some interesting casting that I was intrigued with. And then parts of the story were good, but then once they got to Vegas, oh my goodness. Like, we get it. They're evil. The Stand is a little bit more subtle.
Yeah.
Than what how they played it.
Maximum Overdrive.
Please say Silver Bullets next.
Silver Bullet, Cody.
Yeah, let's remake it.
Remake it? Why? Does anybody want that?
Someone out there has to.
I've seen that movie. I don't even remember anything about it.
Do we have an equivalent of Gary Busey out there that's not Gary Busey?
His son?
Ugh.
Let's just put Gary Busey in it.
We could literally put Gary Busey in it.
That would be awfully entertaining.
You could put
his kid in it.
I'm not going to lie. It was my favorite Corey Haim movie.
Was Corey Haim in Silver Bullet?
He was the kid that was in the wheelchair.
In the wheelchair.
Oh, wow.
In the titular Silver Bullet.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. That's wild. I don't even remember that.
I made Leah watch this like
it's 2 months time. Ago. I enjoy it.
We need more good werewolf movies.
Literally, one lady in the movie is like, "Did you make lemonade in your pants when the werewolf's out trying to kill them in the swamp?" And I laughed for like 5 minutes.
That could have used some reworking in the script.
Maximum Overdrive. I will allow a remake.
Now, explain to everyone what Maximum Overdrive is.
That is where like, the trucks become possessed.
Isn't it about like aliens?
I think aliens, but it's just it's a real campy Emilio Estevez joint.
Yeah.
And
his truck has the Green Goblin's face on it. But yeah, like the cars become murderous. So, okay, I'm going to combine this with another one I have on the list here. So another one I had was Christine, which also involves a murderous vehicle.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why our vehicles are getting possessed.
Here's why I'm going to say nah to both of those. Because I feel like any version of that you try to make today just inevitably becomes AI. You're going AI, right? I feel like it can't even be supernatural anymore because it just makes sense to tell the story of a murderous car being AI.
I think you could still go supernatural.
I mean, you could. It just doesn't make as much sense as AI now.
There's still the supernatural crowd out there.
I think people go with you on it that maybe not enough people understand AI just yet. That generation that can go with supernatural still hanging on.
Okay, I think that's fair. Okay, last one, and I think this one's the most ripe Stephen King property ready for a remake.
Oh, don't say Shawshank.
No, Cujo. No, that's a nah. Shawshank is always a nah.
Green Mile.
I'm talking about The Running Man.
Oh.
Now, The Running Man was ahead of its time because this was it was about reality TV long before reality TV. It was about a revenge culture. Long before the revenge culture, like the whole conceit of The Running Man is they're putting hardened criminals who've done bad things into this reality game show where they're most certainly going to be killed in some entertaining fashion. And I just feel like, oh my goodness, you could totally make that movie today. And it seems like it could be possible.
I feel like they already did with that Stone Cold movie.
The Condemned.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't watch Stone Cold movies.
Well, that's Battle Royale, but that's too far a diversion for what we're doing. I would agree with a remake. I don't know who you put in the Arnold role, but I think there's enough there that you could have some fun with it.
Zac Efron.
I would maybe go straight to streaming. I don't know if I'd go theatrical, but.
All right. Okay. All right, that was our Stevie King aside. Now let's get through some of the hard ones here. Lethal Weapon. Remake, reboot, or nah?
Nah.
Why?
They tried the series. It didn't work.
Yeah, the series was weird, though. That was more like a reboot.
Yeah, they didn't need it.
No, it was a remake. They tried to... Yeah. It was those characters.
Yeah, they didn't need to. And I don't know if because of where Mel Gibson is...
Yeah,
in the pop culture zeitgeist, if you even want to touch that property, just because like he said some cringe things, maybe done some cringe things.
I mean, if we're being fair, this movie got remade 1,000 times over the 20 years after
Rush Hour,
because buddy cop movies became the thing. But the problem is they're all substandard to the Lethal Weapon series. Because literally every character that's in a main role in these movies is iconic. Mm-hmm. Mel Gibson as Riggs Riggs is iconic. Danny Glover as Murtaugh is iconic. Like people still say, I'm too old for this stuff. Like people still quote the lines. Joe Pesci.
I do the drive-through rant pretty regular.
Joe Pesci as Leo Getz. I was just talking about that to someone the other day. Saying that might be Joe Pesci's most iconic role, and he's had lots of iconic roles.
Oh, how dare you with that slander. Oh,
come on.
My Cousin Vinny. Yeah.
That's the one you go to?
Or we go
You don't go to Goodfellas or Home Alone. You go to My Cousin. That's my point.
I probably go My Cousin Vinny, too. So.
All right.
That's a good
movie.
there's supposed to be a Lethal Weapon 5 somewhere out there, but
it comes up every year or so.
Like, Chris Rock, when he joins the cast, like, he kind of becomes iconic in that role as the future son-in-law that he doesn't know.
4 is pretty awful, and 3's not much better. I mean,
it's not great, but it probably has the best bad guy in
all
of them.
Lethal Weapon's a 1-2 punch for me.
Lethal Weapon 2 is one of the best sequels of all time.
I will go reboot, but as you said, like, that's a movie they've, you know, put a different coat of paint on several times already.
I think reboot is the most logical way because you bring back Mel and Danny and Joe Pesci.
Make Mel the chief or something, and there you go.
I guess Chris Rock, although I could do without him.
How dare you?
Me and Will Smith on the same page here. this is kind of in the same vein. Die Hard.
Nope.
Remake, reboot, or not?
Nope.
Is it too iconic? Bruce Willis, too iconic.
And he's dying.
Okay, again, so we're back to the Michael J. Fox kind of area of, like, because the actor themselves are so beloved to us and are aging and are in the kind of the twilight of their lives.
I mean, look at the Die Hard. I don't even know if there was multiple after 3. There's only 4. Okay. Look at Die Hard 4. Oh, there's 5.
Oh, yeah, there's tons of them.
Well, my point is that, like, those aren't beloved properties. Like, you have fans that are like, Die Hard 3 wasn't great, but that's where it should have ended. And it's like Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
We've seen Indiana Jones doesn't work in continuation. There was a time period, and there's a fandom that's like, this is a trilogy. Stop it right there. And with Bruce Willis's health the way it is, I don't think you touch it, and I don't think you touch it for 20 years.
Do you guys cherry pick your franchises? Because, like, for me, Halloween is original in 2018. I disregard everything else, and I know Cody's getting upset.
Yeah, I'm the same way. For me, Die Hard 1 and 2, and that's it.
Samuel L. Jackson.
No, I'm going to say 3 is, it's 1, 3, 2.
I know a lot of people like 3. I didn't.
I feel like I think we keep bumping up into the same thing of, we've had Die Hard on a bus, Hard on
so a speed
boat.
Right. You know? So they actually have remade that movie several times. Air Force One is Die Hard on the president's plane. You know?
Like, yes.
So it's, yeah, I agree.
I say you definitely kind of have to wait until Bruce isn't around. I'll agree with that, but.
But I think we're all agreed it's a nah.
For now.
Those were softballs, though. Lethal Weapon, Die Hard. I wanted to ease back into it. Here's the hard one. The Breakfast Club.
Nope.
Why not? You remake it in today's day and age. New Disney set, different has, problems.
Disney's done it.
Different generation, Disney's different problems. Disney's done it. Have they?
Yes.
Disney?
Their shows that are geared towards kids and teens.
Okay, but those shows aren't good.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you
a real
that
movie
would have to be changed so much because it doesn't hold up when you go back and watch it. There are problematic things with those lines of movies.
Well, but I'm saying that's why you changed it for today's context. Do teenagers not go through problems?
There's not a lot of Saturday schools either. I do know some school districts that have
Cody.
You're getting stuck in all the wrong details.
No, I'm telling you, like, it doesn't make sense now. That won't click in today's generation. They're like, well, why are the kids at school on a Saturday? Well,
there's got to be a way. So they're going to invalidate an entire movie because of kids being at school on
a
Saturday.
It's like when you watch an old movie and it's like, if they had a cell phone, it completely ruins the movie.
Okay.
So time has hindered this story. I don't know. It would have to change drastically, and then you would change the title because they're not having breakfast.
I agree with Dave. There. Would I have a little bit of bad taste in my mouth with The Breakfast Club? And again, when I say, oh, The Breakfast Club, and somebody might draw to that instead of the original, absolutely. But I think there's something there.
I agree. I think,
don't know how you can.
I think it's totally
well. Your ripe reasons for a were they didn't even eat breakfast, and nobody goes to school on
those,
Saturday.
Yeah, those concerns weren't even on my radar. No, my biggest I'm concern. Saying
time. You can't make that movie. It doesn't make sense.
You change the story, so it does.
It's called Mean Girls, and we've seen it. That's it. You got it. It's a high school group. Oh, there we go.
That is Mean Girls. Awfully loose connection.
Yes, because that is the way you'd have to tell it.
You could literally change it to anything.
Or they it's Ferris Bueller's Day Off. They could go on a school off.
Trip.
That's Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Okay.
No, they
Fast Times at Ridgemont High Breakfast Club is every movie that yes. takes place well, at
you're,
all.
You're pretending that all high school movies are derivative.
I'm saying the way that you would have to tell it would have to be like one of those. You can't. It loses its luster of a group of outcast kids that have a detention on Saturday morning.
I feel like you can make it happen.
You can't. Yeah,
I'm going with Dave.
Yeah!
Thumbs down, Cody.
I'm here for a remake. Next on the list, The Wizard of Oz.
They've done it. It was trash.
Did they?
Yeah.
They haven't remade it.
What was that Zach Braff one? Or what the one about that,
the James Franco
one? Yeah, James Franco. And Zach Braff was in it.
It's I don't know. Either a not Return to Oz, the one with Fairuza Balk. That was back when, but that was a sequel. That was probably a reboot.
Was it like that Johnny Depp Peter Pan movie where it was maybe about like the author and not about Oz
the Great and Powerful?
Okay, what's that? You got a summary?
When a shady magician, Oscar Diggs, played by James Franco, is hurled away from Kansas into a wonderful land of Oz, he thinks that...
Okay, I did see that.
Well, yes, and Mila Kunis is in it, Rachel Weisz.
Yeah.
Michelle Williams.
That is a prequel, and yes. I would say it's a reboot.
Okay.
But
I didn't like it.
Are we going to say no to the remake, though? That's something they never have tried to do. Wicked is sort of a reboot.
I think Wicked is the route you take.
Okay.
I don't have an affinity for it, and if it, go for it.
I was just leading you a little bit. I think it's too iconic. I don't think you can redo it.
So, honestly, I think, for me, a lot of times remakes have to be, there has to be a significant time or a significant technology advancement for, like, or it's not beloved.
Yeah.
Like, if it's something that... Like, had a following, but yet it wasn't, like, big mainstream. And it's like, oh, we're introducing this to a new group? Yeah, bring it
something
on.
Something fringy.
Yes.
I think if you go from movie to TV or vice versa, because when I think of remake, one of the best examples is 21 Jump Street to me.
Yeah. That's a little Cobra Kai, though, right?
I've seen the original, and then the movies were both great.
Yeah, they go in a completely different direction. It's comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what, I mean,
you go with a genre switch
subject
there.
Matter.
This will lead into Cody's being a little bit more fringy. This might be more ripe, because I agree, Wizard of Oz, leave it alone. What about Flash Gordon? Your late 70s space opera.
Yep.
That's kind of kooky. Was a sort of a cult favorite. But wasn't like a huge deal.
Your friend that looks in is basically Scotty is the only person you know that has seen it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Flash Gordon, like, why haven't we remade a good space opera?
That's a good question.
In the 70s style with an awesome soundtrack by Queen.
Bit Guardians of the Galaxy to me, but.
That's the closest we've gotten. But, you know, for being like...
Is that not good enough for you, Dave?
No, because it's not like it has a style that's sort of space opera-ish. But, like, you just have to see Flash Gordon to know what I'm talking about. Like, it's just kind of out there.
I know the song and that's it.
Yeah. Of course you do, because the soundtrack's iconic.
Being the Merciless.
Yeah. I think we're totally here for a Flash Gordon remake.
Yes.
Or reboot. That dude's still around. Sam Worthington. He could be the old Flash. Bring him back. Here we go. This one, I had this on the list, and then today I thought I was imagining things because the Neverending Story. I was all ready to come on here and ask you, remake, reboot, or not. And then literally...
That question got answered.
Late this afternoon, the news broke that they are coming out with a remake. Multiple movies for a new telling of the Neverending Story.
Yeah. That is something I liked as a kid, but I think that technology would help it.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
The story's timeless. Like, the story is, like, it's such a great story.
And also, I don't necessarily remember the kid actors being like, oh my goodness, that dude went on to be the next Brad Pitt.
None of them were all bad.
Yeah, like, none of the acting was iconic, I don't think.
It wasn't Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah, the things that are iconic in that movie are, like, the animatronic characters. So Falcor is iconic. Artax.
I always get a little nervous when it's multiple movies and the first one hasn't even come out yet.
Yep.
The thing I didn't notice about the Neverending Story is I recently rewatched it with one of my kids, and the gate thing with the Sphinx ladies who are topless. I didn't remember that at all. And I guess it's maybe when you're a kid, you're not looking at it, but because like someone 3D printed the Sphinxes, and I was like, oh. Is that how they appeared in the movie? Oh, absolutely. They did. Wow. They have nipples.
Yep. That happens.
Like, it was like, whoa, that's all right, kids. Maybe we fast forward past this part. I don't know. I didn't remember it being that graphic.
Turns out the Blu-ray's acting up, kids.
Well, in the 80s, we just didn't think about that kind of stuff, I guess. Okay. Last two. These are biggies. The Goonies.
No.
No? Not even a reboot?
Nope.
Where it's like a later on sequel, you Ghostbusterize it, you bring back the original crew, they're the parents, new set of kids.
It then, I think, washes out some of the nostalgia factor of the original.
Jackson?
I think I'll go with Cody on this one. I've probably argued against it already, like the opposite, but I would agree that it's a little film that should be just kind of left alone. And
I hear you, and I'm scared because Goonies is one of my favorite movies. I'm lying if I'm not scared that it would wash away the nostalgia. But also, I feel like I sold my soul for a sequel a long time ago and never got it because they always teased us with it. And so now I'm just like, just do it. Just bring back the originals as the parents, and they have a new set of kids. I'm here for it.
Well, now they're almost like grandparent age.
So is it same time period? Just
that was hurtful.
Originals as the parents now, or are you putting it in modern times?
Oh, modern times.
Okay.
Yeah. Modern times for sure. Okay. Last one. And this one, I saved this one for last intentionally. This is the one that got me started thinking about it. And so I'll lead off on this one. The property is Star Wars. And Star Wars is in a bad place, I think. The fandom is, I mean, you said the Acolyte trailer has more thumbs down than thumbs up, which is weird because I watched the trailer and I didn't think, I wasn't excited. I wasn't super psyched, but I was interested. It looks like, okay, I might watch that. I didn't see anything that, you know, would have made me want to down thumb it. So I think the Star Wars fandom is just in a weird place. I read something the other day that Gen Z and lower, Gen Alpha, really don't care about Star Wars. They haven't been able to win them as fans. And so I'm in a place where I think it's time that you could just totally remake the original Star Wars trilogy. New actors, new technology. You could change the story a little bit to fit context better, I suppose. Because, like, George Lucas was trying to say something in those stories, I think. So you could throw in a little bit more of a political message, I suppose, without it getting too far one way or the other. So it angered people. But I just don't know. I feel like the only way you save Star Wars is by starting over.
Nope.
Nope. Judge, you're not going to explain that, or tell me why? Tell me why? No, I know it's iconic.
No,
but how do they save Star Wars? How?
I make quality stories. That's the issue.
That would be nice.
I also think your generation, and I guess probably our part of the millennials, space was still a big thing. It's not a thing that anyone cares about, like, anymore. Like, computers and AI and, like, technology, social media, that is more at the forefront of what the kids are at. Video gaming.
Sandra Bullock went out there, found there was nothing. We lost George Clooney. She barely made it back. We're just done with space.
I honestly think that that is a generational divide, though. That,
no, like, I agree. I'm being funny, but I agree.
The priority of where space exists in my mind is a lot different than the kids I work with. And so that component is a little lost. If Dune has shown us anything, like, you would have to get all the big name celebrities, A-list actors, to be in it. Where, like, if you look at the original, it launched a bunch of A-list celebrities, including Han Solo.
Yeah.
Known as Harrison Ford in these here parts.
Kurt Russell. But
yes. I think that you just leave it alone and you start telling better stories. And you have that be a canon event that we don't touch this except for we're going to visually update it because technology allows us to, and we're not going to trip through Jabba the Hutt's tail. Like, we're going to change those things in it, but we're not going to remake or reboot this movie. It is canon. It is like the Bible.
So you were okay with the special editions where they touched up some of the effects?
You touch it up, that makes sense. The Bible, they update it occasionally. They're like, oh, we think this word better translates in the context like this. Like, oh, okay. Like, no one notices, bats an eye. It's your Bible, and all the other stories around it are like testimonies or books, self-help books, whatever. And there's good ones, there's bad ones.
Okay.
And so that's where I am. And before we get to Jackson's view on it, because Jackson will have thoughts, I do want to say, I think where people should go for remakes and reboots is like fringe Alfred Hitchcock movies, like the ones that weren't super successful. That, like, Spellbound, that would be a great one to remake or reboot. If you do make the big ones, Vertigo and Rearview Window, those sorts of things.
Psycho. They already remade
it. Well, they remade Psycho, but, like, I think you have to have the right cast.
Yeah. Vince Vaughn, not working for you?
Nope.
All right. Star Wars, Jackson.
I did chuck a little with Rearview Window. I know that one. Anyway, with Star Wars, my thing is I feel that fan base is like predisposed to hate whatever you put in there. So I wonder if you're already going to have that section of the fan base that no matter what it is, how it looks, or what it turns out to be, not my Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
You know, similar to what they did with Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
And
let me say that when I say remake it, I'm saying you forsake the older generations and you go after the young generations.
And Cody made a good point of like space is not this magnificent, you know, unexplored area. Like, you know, we've kind of moved away from it and it's not any great shakes to anybody on the level that it was to us. And I think you muddy the waters further. You know, we had Force Awakens, which I felt was just A New Hope redone. And, you know, I can't even hardly remember the new ones. Rise of Skywalker, Last Jedi, I think those were
Last Jedi, Rise of Skywalker, yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, that was a mess, though. That was just a mess.
I feel like that's something that, and they never will because Disney likes money, but it needs to just be untouched and needs to sit undisturbed for a certain period of time. And wait until that nostalgia comes back a little bit, because Star Wars never really leaves us. There's always something out there. There's always somebody we're going on an adventure, and then they'll say Darth Vader, and everybody's like, oh, they said Darth Vader. You know, like, we haven't had time to miss it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, yeah, if you either you go with the remake, or you go with a reboot in a way where you go thousands of years in a direction, I would probably say the future, and just tell a completely new story within that universe. So you distance yourself from, like, the Skywalkers and all that. But yeah. Okay. So tell us what you think. Did you have a different opinion on remake, one of our remake reboots, or nah? Tell us, is there a property we missed?
That Jaws. Sorry.
Too iconic. Nah. That's a nah for me, dog.
I figured that would be
I think
in here,
you
though.
Actually could.
You yeah, could.
See,
yeah.
You left us there, Dave.
You could. But
Cody and I could yell at each other again.
You're going to need a bigger boat. I feel like that one's already been remade too. Like, I feel like the only choice is to go bigger.
Sharknado.
But yeah, let us know. Tell us, of course, subscribe, all that, and rate the podcast. That helps us out. And stick around for just a second. We're going to update you on the serial March Madness brackets here in just a second. All right, we have to update the March Madness breakfast cereal brackets. After your votes were tallied, we're down to the Elite Eight of breakfast cereals, a one seed versus two seed matchup. So this first bracket has been chalk.
Chalk.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch versus Lucky Charms. That's a big one coming up. Lucky Charms took out Golden Grahams. Cinnamon Toast Crunch is just steamrolled competition.
As it should.
Yeah, okay, Jackson's resolute.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch is a blue blood of the cereal game.
I would agree. It's not my favorite, but I recognize that it's a lot of people's favorites.
And it's got mass appeal. You got all sorts of spreads and popcorns and everything.
Down in the lower half of that, in the other bracket, Reese's Puffs and Fruity Pebbles continue the chalk trend. One and two seed.
Reese's Puffs is a national treasure just based off the rap jingle alone.
Okay. All right. It's the other side of the bracket where things get interesting over here. Frosted Mini Wheats. Ugh. In an upset. Who's eating Frosted Mini Wheats?
Apparently Cody.
Who's voting for this?
Yes. Man of the people.
I did not see this coming.
Are they a staple of the Haviland house?
Yes.
Frosted Mini Wheats. I don't get it. It took out Fruit Loops, took the number one seed down.
Fruit Loops are a good kid cereal, but some of us have grown up, David.
Oh,
it's going to take David on Honey Nut Cheerios, the six seed.
So yeah!
You got the five and the six seed in this bracket, and this is bracket, like, this bracket could, like, catch on fire, and I wouldn't put it out right now. I don't care about either one of these cereals, and I'm about tired of the slander I'm facing from the Honey Nut Cheerios stuff.
Love it.
I never knew Honey Nut Cheerios had so many fans.
You shouldn't make hot takes, Dave.
I would rather eat Super Golden Crisp. That makes my pee smell weird.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, it does. Welcome Honey Smacks, whatever you want to call them.
Pastor After Dark.
Because I said pee? down in the bottom half of the bracket, the one seed Cap'n Crunch in a narrow victory against Cookie Crisp. I mean, it got
Cookie Crisp is legit.
You eat like five of those and then it's just aftertaste. No, yeah. Thanks.
Well, Cap'n Crunch, you eat too many of it, and your mouth is like, it's like you ate razor blades.
Yes.
But I still do it. I mean, I know it's going to happen.
I can go there with you.
Cap'n Crunch will go up against the classic that was at the three seed, Frosted Flakes. So Cap'n Crunch and Frosted Flakes going at it. That's your Elite Eight.
Oh, I am so excited about the part of the bracket that has the five and the six seed. Nope. I'm all about the upset special.
I don't care who wins that, because if Cap'n Crunch doesn't take it out or Frosted Flakes, either one, I'm just very disappointed in all of you.
I am here for us to push through.
I might have to change some rules. Like, my vote counts as 10, yeah. 20. All right. So the voting will start again the day after this pod drops, Saturday. Look for it only in the Pop Culture Pastor community group. You have to join the community group. So look for the link we shared on the Pop Culture Pastor page on Facebook. Find the community group, join it, and go vote for the Elite Eight round of the March Madness Breakfast Cereal Bracket. We'll see you next time. Pop Culture Pastor.